Romans chapter 5, we started a series 4 weeks ago on the keys to the victorious Christian life. Let's review what we've talked about. Number one, obedience. Has to start there. To obey is better than sacrifice. To hearken is better than the fat of rams. If you're not willing to be obedient to the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to have a victorious Christian life. Number two was sacrifice. So obedience as a servant, sacrifice as a soldier. And then last week we looked at faithfulness as a steward. Today we look at the fourth key to the victorious Christian life, which is tribulation or patience in tribulation. How we respond to trials is a big part of our victory. Because when you look at Israel and how they responded to trials as we're walking through Exodus, they were a great example of how not to respond to trials. Amen? Complaining, murmuring, being angry with God, wanting to go back into the world and so forth. So how we respond to trials is huge. And God is using them to try to teach us and grow us, but only if we will respond properly. So notice Romans chapter 5, verse 3 is where we'll begin this morning. And we'll look down through verse 5, Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 3. The Bible says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." So our title is Tribulation Worketh Patience. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege of being here today, opening your word together, and allowing the Holy Spirit to use it in our hearts. I pray that each of us would focus on hearing from you. And Lord, we would be responsive as you speak to our hearts through your powerful word. May Jesus Christ, our Savior, be magnified. And we pray this in his wonderful name. Amen. The first thing we see here in verse 3, it says, we glory in tribulations. One of the keys in this passage and one of the keys to the Christian life is our response to tribulations. We have a choice. As we're going to see later, we're going to have tribulations. That's part of the Christian life. It's part of the process of God conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. But how we respond is up to us. And how we respond also determines how much we're going to grow through that tribulation or not. It's really up to us. But that word glory, other times he uses the word rejoice. Other times Paul even uses the word pleasure. But let's look at some of these passages. Go to Luke chapter 6 if you would. And we're focusing right this moment on our response to trials. And you'll be amazed how many different times in the Word of God he talks about how we respond. Notice Luke chapter 6, verse 22. "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy." How about that for a response? Don't just rejoice, but leap for joy. When? When you are persecuted for being a believer. Now, is that our typical response? When somebody persecutes or attacks us for being a Christian, do we stop and, just a minute, I need to leap for joy? It's in the Bible. Amen? Let's move on. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Apostle Paul here, just to give you some context, came to God, and three times he asked God to take away a thorn that God had allowed to be in his life. We don't know what the thorn was, but Paul believed that if it could be removed, he could be more effective in serving the Lord as his great missionary, great church planter. And God said, no, I'm not going to take the thorn away. Verse 9, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That was God's answer. And look what Paul said after God explained it to him. Paul, you need this thorn. I want this thorn in your life. I'm not taking it away. Look what Paul said. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. I take pleasure in infirmities. They're usually pretty painful. What he's saying there is, now that I understand that God has a purpose in this, now that I understand that God is allowing this and that God is not going to take it away because he believes it's for my good, my perspective has changed. And now I'm going to glory in my infirmities and I'm going to take pleasure in my infirmities. Let's move on. James chapter 1. I want us to get this first point. That's why we're going to look at a lot of scriptures. And that point is, how we respond is so important. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. So here he's not talking about trials or tribulation. He's talking about actual temptations. When we are tempted, is our response to rejoice? Typically, no. Typically, it's we either do our best to not succumb to the temptation, or we succumb to the temptation, or we're frustrated or whatever. But it's not typically to say, thank you, Lord, for that temptation. Even though he tells us in verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. So we've seen words like leap for joy, glory, take pleasure in. Let's go to 1 Peter 1, verse 6. We'll see it again. Now, I wanted you to see this. This isn't just some isolated thought in the scripture. It's all through the New Testament that God is allowing tribulations in our life, but God is watching our response. And that our response is the key. 1 Peter 1, 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. You rejoice. And then while you're in 1 Peter, look at chapter 4, verse 12. By the way, this is just a sampling. 1 Peter 4, 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice. Inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Look at verse 16. Yet if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Glory in tribulations. Rejoice. Leap for joy. Take pleasure in infirmities. The key is our response. And that is one of the keys to the victorious Christian life. When God allows a tribulation in our life, and there will be plenty, so let's go back to our passage there in Romans chapter 5, we need to stop and recognize God allowed this. God has a purpose in this. Therefore, I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to blame God. I'm not going to murmur and complain like Israel did over and over again. You study their time in the desert, nothing angered God more than their murmuring. And the murmuring only came when there were trials. So it says here in Romans 5:3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. The first point is our response is the key. The second point is that tribulations are a regular part of the Christian life. You are going to have them. I can't tell you how many. Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. So we know there's going to be many. We don't know how many. I think a lot of that's up to us, actually. Because if we don't get the point in tribulation A, then God has to bring another one to try to teach us that particular lesson. And if we don't get it, he's got to keep bringing it because we need to move on to lesson B. right? The next tribulation and the next one and the next one. We don't know how many there's going to be, but God allows them. And we are going to have them. Some of the passages we looked at, 1 Peter 1, he said, if need be, 1 Peter 1, 6, if need be, you're in heaven is through manifold temptations. Well, who determines that? God. If you need another trial, God will bring it to teach you that next lesson. 1 Peter 4:19, let him that suffer according to the will of God. Suffering is according to the will of God. You see, sometimes the devil comes along and tricks us into thinking that because we are Christians, we're not going to have trials. And actually, some people even preach this. It's not in the scriptures. But some people preach, oh, if you just get right with God, you won't have troubles, you won't have trials, you'll be rich and so forth and healthy. It sounds really good. If just, sadly, it's not in scripture. And if you ever wonder, just read the book of Job. What did Job do wrong that he deserved all that suffering? Lost his family, lost his living, lost his health. And then to top it off, these supposed friends come and spend days telling him he deserves it. What did he do? Wrong? Nothing. According to the will of God, 1 Peter 4:19. And then 1 Peter 5:10 says, after that you've suffered a while. God's going to allow suffering in your life. That's our second point. First one is the response is the key. The second one is God is going to bring them into your life and they are going to keep coming until God makes you just like Jesus. Anybody here raise your hand and say, I'm just like Jesus. I never sin. I do everything perfectly. Then that means God has more work to do in your life. And often trials is the way he does that work. So the second thing is we are going to have tribulations. The third thing, verse 3, knowing, Romans 5, 3, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. That word knowing, that's talking about our faith. Knowing that God does these things, knowing that God has a purpose in it. This is important that we understand that part of our faith is waiting on the Lord, trusting Him, knowing that He has a purpose in this. Let's look at Psalm 37, if we could, quickly. That word knowing, it's talking about faith. It's talking about waiting on the Lord. It's talking about trusting God. David wrote this psalm. This particular context is talking about when it seems like the wicked get away with their wickedness. And sometimes that's frustrating. We sit back and it seems like, well, they're getting away with it. Well, if they don't get saved, they're going to hell forever. I would say that's pretty good punishment, wouldn't you? But know Psalm 37:7, David says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Notice that word rest. That's faith. How many times in the scriptures are we told, wait on the Lord? When are the times when it's toughest to wait on the Lord, but in the middle of a trial or tribulation? It's easy to wait on the Lord when things are going good, but when we're going through a trial, that's when it's tough to wait on the Lord. That's faith. Because we know God has a purpose. And we don't know how long it's going to last, but He does. Now, go back to 1 Peter 4 again, if you would, quickly, verse 19. I want to show you something that I didn't point out earlier, and that is that it's all about trust and faith in the Lord. When it comes to these tribulations, how we respond, and whether or not we're willing to trust and wait on God. Notice 1 Peter 4:19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Commit the keeping of their souls. Well, we did that the day we got saved. Amen? We said, Lord, this I give you my soul. I'm trusting the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did at Calvary to save my soul from hell. So we committed our soul to Him, our destiny. But this is talking about as we suffer, we need to commit the keeping of our souls to Him. In other words, trust Him, wait on Him, and notice it says, as unto a faithful Creator. To question God, to get angry at God, to murmur against God in tribulations is saying that He's not a faithful Creator. It's essentially saying either that God made a mistake or that God doesn't care, and neither one of those things are true. God is a faithful Creator. So number one in this passage this morning, our response is the key. Number two, we're going to have tribulations and they're going to keep coming. And number three, faith in the tribulations, knowing that it's of God, is the other key when it comes to suffering. But now let's go back to Romans 5:3 again. Tribulation worketh patience. I want to focus on that word worketh for a minute. That tells us that actually tribulations work in our lives. Now to believe that is a step of faith, is it not? We can't see, we can't look at our soul and see, oh, look, it developed this much. Oh, it's this much more like Jesus. But God can. And so the next time the tribulation comes, our response, part of our response is knowing this is for my good. God had this all laid out. God knows exactly what and why He is doing this. That word worketh, that's an important word. In the midst of Job's trials, and they were as intense as they can ever be, what did he say in Job 23:10? We sing the song, He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as what? Gold. What's he saying in that declaration in the midst of being attacked by his friends? God knows what he's doing, and God is making me better. That word worketh. Let's look at that for a moment. 2 Corinthians 4:17. That's a key word in this passage, is the tribulation worketh patience. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, look at this next word, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We looked in James 1. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. God likes to use that word, worketh. And then look at 1 Peter 5:10, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. And our fourth point here is the tribulations are good for us. They work for us. So our response is the key. Our faith is the key. We're going to have tribulations, and they're going to keep coming, but they're good for us. 1 Peter 5:10, the God of all grace, who hath called you unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Now we all want to be perfected and established and strengthened and settled in our Christian walk, but that little phrase, after that ye have suffered a while. In other words, tribulations work for us, for our good. But what do they work? They work patience. Romans 5:3, tribulation worketh patience. And so that's our fifth point, is that God wants to develop His patience in us through tribulations. So when you hear that word patience, often we think about putting up with each other. Maybe a better word there would be forbearance. This patience is talking about waiting on the Lord and responding properly when tribulations come into our life. David said, wait patiently there in Psalm 37:7, which we looked at. Let's look at another one, Romans chapter 12, verse 12. And as we're seeing, it's all through the Scriptures that God uses tribulations to develop His children, to grow His children, as Job said, when He had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Notice Romans 12, 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. I know we're looking at a lot of Scriptures this morning, but I want you to see that this is just permeates the New Testament. 2 Thessalonians 1, 4. So that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Paul here commending the church at Thessalonica, saying, I admire your patience and your faith in the midst of what? Your persecutions and tribulations. That you are handling them properly. And that God is using them to develop your patience and your faith. James 1:12. Let's turn there quickly. God uses the word endure relative to temptations. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, it says he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And then James 5, if you want to turn there quickly, talking about Job, God actually uses Job in this passage to talk about how we respond to tribulations. And look what he says here in James 5:10. Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for example of suffering affliction and of patience. Verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. How many times have we used that phrase, the patience of Job? It comes from the Bible. But where do we get to observe the patience of Job? When we read the book of Job and see how he handled the tribulations that God allowed in his life. And now God says, look at the patience of Job. I want you to endure the tribulations because I am developing spiritual patience in you. And nothing develops our patience better than when it's tested. Right? If you want to pray for patience, that's up to you. But if you do, God will definitely answer your prayer. And He knows how to do it. Let's go back to our passage now. We just got through verse 3. And look at verse 4. It says, in patience experience. Look at that word experience. Do you think if you were going through a trial and you lived in the days of Job and you were close enough that you could visit him, do you think if you were going through an intense trial that you might be tempted to go and have a sit down and have a little chat with Job? Guarantee you would. Because Job has experience, doesn't he? Job has been through probably more than any other human other than Christ. Job now has experience. And who better to help us when we're going through a tribulation, other than the Holy Spirit, of course, but in the human sense, but someone who's been there. And God talks about that in 2 Corinthians 1. Let's turn over there if we could quickly. But when we go through tribulations, what's the purpose? God's using it to develop us. Tribulation worketh patience. And God is testing our response. Are we going to glory in it, or are we going to complain and murmur? But if we do handle it properly, and we do endure it, and we do trust God through it, God has developed us, and now someone comes along and say, you know, I've been through it, or I'm going through this trial. You know what you can say? I've been there. 2 Corinthians 1:4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. We can say and mean it, I have been there and God got me through it, and God will get you through it too. And those words mean a lot when you're in the middle of a tribulation, when someone says, I have been there. That's experience. I understand what you're going through. God is perfecting you. God is growing you. But sometimes it helps to meet someone with some experience too. And have you ever noticed that the Christians that have been through the hottest fire are the Christians, verse 4, with the greatest hope? It says experience hope. Who had more hope than the Apostle Paul? And let's look at 2 Timothy 4, verse 17, the last chapter that he wrote, by the way, chronologically, as he was about to be martyred for his faith. And he says here in verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Does that sound like somebody that spent as much time as he did in prison, in the stocks, being beaten and shipwrecked and punched and stoned? No, this man had hope. Why? Because of all the suffering he had been through, it developed experience, and experience develops hope. And Paul said, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And other places he recounts all of these other trials that he went through. But never once did he say, but it wasn't God's will, or God made a mistake, or woe is me for going through that. No, every time he talks about all these trials and tribulations that he went through, he's actually thanking God for them and only sharing them to help us, because he had experience. And his experience led to amazing hope. And people with amazing hope are the people, verse 5 of our passage, that are not ashamed. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. He said, yes, I have suffered a lot, but I am not ashamed. Not ashamed of the one who is growing me and developing me and preparing me to spend forever with him. So I want to encourage you this morning to think about this key to the Christian life. And it's very simply how we respond to trials. It's our choice. They're going to come. God's going to continue to send them our way because he's trying to develop us and conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. But how we respond to them is up to us. We can get angry. We can get frustrated. We can complain. We can complain to others. We can complain to God. Or we can glory, as it says here in Romans 5:3. We can rejoice. We can take pleasure in them. Not physical pleasure, but spiritual pleasure. God has a purpose in this. I know that God is doing something in my life right now. Praise God. It hurts. And I'm going to talk to God about the pain because that's what I'm told to do. But I'm going to rejoice because I know that God is doing this for me, for my good. And so how we respond is the key. We can glory or we can not glory. We can rejoice or we can not rejoice. It's up to us. But tribulation worketh patience, and patience in tribulation is what God is developing. And one of the keys to living the victorious Christian life. Tribulation worketh patience. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your precious word. And just reminding us today how much you love us. So much that you are constantly working in our lives. And developing us and molding us. That we might come forth as gold. I pray, Lord, that we would get a hold of this great truth. And learn to respond to the trials and tribulations of life as you would have us to. That we might grow as you want us to. Lord, I didn't preach to them, but if there's someone in our service today not born again, may they realize that they must be. Jesus died and rose again for them, offers them eternal life if they will but come to him and repent and ask for his salvation. And I pray they'd be saved today. Lord, those of us that are Christians, may we be honest about how we respond to trials and tribulations. And may we grow, and Lord, even if necessary, make a commitment to respond as we should in the future, or even in the midst of the one we're in now. Have your will and way in our hearts. We love you and pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.